How's everybody going doing this evening? We're thankful for everyone that's here. We're thankful for the opportunity to come together and to study from your word. We're going to be looking this evening at the way of Cain. If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Jude. In Jude, there's only one chapter. In verse 8 down through verse 13, we're going to read. Here is a description of the false teachers. He says, "Likewise, also these filthy dreamers, they defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruits, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Anybody ever watch the cartoon, you know, The Roadrunner? And I reminded, there was one episode, one cartoon where it starts out and you see the Roadrunner, he's being chased by Wile E. Coyote, not so wily. And there's a sign ahead, and one sign says, has a sign that points to town, and another sign that points to a cliff. And the roadrunner runs by it so fast, the sign spins around, and it stops. And now the road, the cliff, is now says to town. And so Wile E. Coyote, he takes off, and he turns down that way, and of course he runs off the cliff and gets over there and looks down and goes, "Oh." And so the road sign turned on him. Now, here's an interesting fun fact. In real life, a roadrunner can travel on the ground between 20 and 26 miles an hour. A coyote, on the other hand, runs from 38 to 43 miles an hour. You know, hashtag my childhood was a lie, apparently. So, and so you think about, you ever seen the war movies or whatever, they'll take the signs and they'll turn them. They'll change them around. And so, that way when the enemy comes, they don't know which way to go, apparently. So the idea is to confuse the enemy, to slow down his advance. You know, with a good map and a compass, it's easy to overcome that, or GPS. It's easy to sort things out and identify the correct route. But careless travelers, though, they can fall by inattention. You know, all through town here, we have these signs that say no trucks. No trucks allowed on all of these side streets. And yet, how often, at least 10 times in the last 12 years, and it's probably been more than that, there's been a 18-wheeler stuck in the ditch over here. And they follow the GPS. The GPS always leads them down this street, and then they get down here, and they got nowhere to go. And so they try to make that corner. They think they can, and they can't. And so, travelers, beware. Watch out where you are. And so he warns here. Jude warns about these false teachers. And notice what he says. He says, "Woe unto them. They have gone the way of Cain." And I want to focus for the next few minutes on this phrase, the way of Cain. You think about the word woe for a second. It's an arresting warning to all who follow false teachers. Woe unto them. You know, Jesus used this word to arrest attention. Look over in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read beginning in verse 21. It's too long to fit on the screen up there. He says, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." So he's talking to some cities. He's talking about some cities where he had gone, where apparently it had to shake the dust off his feet because they would not hear. He said the things that you saw had been seen by the people of Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. These were Gentile cities that God overthrew. Verse 22, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And so woe means look out, the danger. Jesus had blessed these people with his presence, but they refused to repent. They refused to accept him. They neglected a great opportunity. Woe envisions future outpouring of God's wrath on those who live in unrighteousness. So woe unto them that have gone the way of Cain. It is a reproach and a warning to all. Jude applies this word to those who were teaching false doctrines, those who were troubling the church. You know, the reason for this strong language was that the false teachers were traveling some crooked path of three notorious false teachers. They'd gone the way of Cain in the era of Balaam, and they were going to face the judgment of Korah. You know, Jude used this trio as an example of what not to be and exhorted his readers to choose a higher road in life. So we're going to look at the way of Cain. Cain chose the wrong path. And he paid a dear price for his error. Jude is marking Cain's path with warning signs, so no one will wander it by mistakes. And so we're going to look at four warning signs, you might say, that point out that you may be on the way of Cain, or that you are on the way of Cain. And so the first one I want us to notice is that of self-will. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 4. We'll read the accounts of Cain and Abel and their sacrifices. It says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So the way of Cain came to light first when he and his brothers were making offerings unto God. You know, Abel sacrificed of the best of his flock. The Lord received his gift with great favor. Cain brought some of the produce that he had grown, but God did not accept it. Now, what is the difference between the two offerings? Notice Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 enlightens us a little more. It says there, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. You know, the excellence of Abel's sacrifice is seen in that it was offered by faith. Now, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Thus, Abel was pleasing to God because he obeyed God's commandment, and evidently God wanted a blood sacrifice. He wanted that animal sacrifice. You know, Cain may have felt that his produce was as good or better than the blood of sacrifice offered by Abel. You know, was he trying to improve on God's commandments? Regardless of his intent, it was an act of disobedience. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Remember, King Saul was told by Samuel, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You know, whenever man substitutes his own will for that of God's, he is following the way of Cain. There is little doubt that Cain's sin commenced with an improper attitude. But the result was a disobedient act. He did not provide the sacrifice that God had commanded. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. We are righteous when we do righteousness. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. By failing to do what God commanded, Cain showed himself to be unrighteous. His actions showed his unrighteous attitude, his self-will. We see also another warning sign, and that is the sign of resentment. Cain was upset that God rejected his offering. Notice again verse 5, but Cain and to his offering had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He became angry, his expression, his whole manner, his whole stature changed. You can see it in someone's face when they become angry. They clench the fist, they get angry. You can just see it on their face sometimes. He was upset. He was angry. He began to resent his brother. Paul offered excellent counsel for a person with Cain's state of mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath." Anger is an emotion that God has given us. There is a way to express anger. Now, his was unrighteous anger, but he allowed it to go to the next step. We get angry, talk about, count to 10. Go out, do something that makes you relax. Think about something else. That's good advice, to calm down so that you don't take the next step and go on further. We must learn to manage our emotions, all of them, our good emotions, our positive, our negative emotions, our positive emotions, and so forth. We need to manage our emotions. We got to put them towards constructive ends. Those who live at the mercy of their emotions, they're traveling the way of Cain. If you allow anger and wrath and all that, that's going to lead you down a dark path, the path that Cain was on. The Lord attempted to reason with Cain. Notice verse 6. "And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." God says, "Why are you angry? Why are you so upset?" If he was upset with anyone, he should have been upset with himself because he missed the mark. He did not provide what God commanded. Those who blame others for their problems, they are traveling the way of Cain, aren't they? God encouraged Cain to change his course. He said there was still time. If he had started doing what was right, then God would accept it. God gave him another opportunity, gave him a chance to go and do the right thing. He did not do it. If not sin, he says, was ready to pounce on him like a lion stalking his prey. There's always a way of escape, isn't there? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Here, Cain is facing a great temptation, a great trial. He's angry. His sacrifice was rejected. He sees the respect that God has given to Cain or to Abel, and he's jealous. That's a temptation. God told him the way out of it, didn't he? Told him how to make it right. Gave him the opportunity, made the way of escape. But that's not the way that Cain chose. Those who follow the way of Cain, they do so by choice. Cain had an opportunity to do the right thing. He's given a choice. Do right, and you'll be accepted. Or continue like you are and be rejected. Cain chose to be rejected. Instead of listening to God's advice, he held on to his anger. until it led to murder. You know, whenever a person fills his heart with evil, eventually it's going to express itself in action. Evil hearts are a walking time bomb, waiting to go off. You know, like Jesus said, whoever's angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of hellfire. It is not necessarily the anger, but it's the without the cause and the holding on to that anger. Now, sometimes somebody says something, we misconstrue it. Or maybe they do something that we think is wrong, that offends us. And we get angry. And sometimes that's okay, but we cannot allow that anger to grow and continue. We've got to let go of that anger. We've got to learn and try to see the best in what people are saying or doing. We cannot allow that to linger in us. Evil hearts are walking time on. You know, there are inner difficulties. Sometimes, you know, an ulcer, eventually that's going to come out. We're going to know about it. You know, we got a problem with our hearts, we may have a heart attack. If we have a problem with our attitude, we may show it in hurtful speech or physical violence. In either case, anger harms the one in whom it dwells more than the one to whom it is directed. You know, you think about Cain, he kills his brother Abel. You can't do more harm to a person in this world than kill them. And yet, where did Abel go? Abel went to be with the Lord. What better thing could happen to Abel than to go and be with the Lord? And so the anger of Cain caused more damage to him than it did to the one he killed, his own brother. We see next is selfishness. You know, Cain apparently took his brother out into a field and killed him. Notice beginning in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? So we'll stop right there for a moment. He took him out and he killed him. At that moment, he took his own life as well. You know, whenever a person hates his fellow man, he abides in spiritual death. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, here we're talking about spiritual brethren. Here was a physical brother. I cannot imagine being so resentful of my own sibling that I would kill them. John used this sad story to exhort Christians to choose a different course in their personal relationships. Notice, go back a couple of verses there in 1 John 3, verses 11 and 12. It says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You know, it's interesting to observe the connection between Cain's attitude toward God and his actions toward his brother. The two, they're really inseparably linked. If he would substitute his will for God in worship, he would not hesitate to elevate his will over that of his brother. Cain's way is a way of selfishness. And those who are close to the one who is traveling this road should beware. Selfishness. Friendships, marriage, and relationships of every description have been callously destroyed as a result of consuming self-interest. And that's what selfishness is the inability to see beyond yourself. You know, although fully aware of what has transpired, the Lord confronted Cain with a question. Notice there, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He says, where is your brother? And Cain's response is very cold, very calculating. I don't know. I am not his keeper. You know, where love is lacking, trouble is soon to follow. The golden rule had been replaced with the law of the jungle. You know, we are our brother's keeper. In Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, Notice what it says. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandments, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." You know, the most loving path is always the one that follows Christ's teaching. Selfishness is the love of self above all others. And that must not be what the Christian is. If we find ourselves thinking more about ourselves, loving ourselves, centering our thoughts and our actions only on ourselves without regard to our fellow man, be careful, because you're walking the way of Cain. And finally, I want us to notice is a way of self-deceit. It was also Cain's way to lie about his sin. Rather than face the guilt, he attempted to cover it up the same way he must have hidden his brother. For a fleeting moment, he thought he might not be discovered, but that was certainly not the case. God told Cain that Abel's blood cried from the ground, demanding justice. Notice in verse 10, he said, "And what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." God told him, "Your blood, the blood of your brother that you shed, is crying out for justice." As a result of his sin, he could no longer pursue the occupation that he had. Notice he says, "When thou tillest the ground," in verse 12, "it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." So sin touched not just him, but notice his whole family, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, all of his family, all the descendants of Cain, that sin touched their lives. You know, Jude declared back in Jude 11 that false teachers are going the way of Cain. False teachers are the spiritual descendants of Cain because they prefer their own way to the way of God. They're selfish and quick to vent their anger on anyone who opposes them. You know, they defy God constantly, denying that they've done anything wrong. And in the end, those who choose to walk the way of Cain must share in his punishments. So we need to think about our ways. You know, every person must choose a path to travel in life. You know, Jesus narrowed it down to just two choices. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it." The broad way, the way of Cain, is a way that leads to destruction. We can walk that path, or we can walk that straight and narrow path, that difficult way that leads to life. You know, when standing at the crossroad, the natural choice seems to be the wide road. It seems the easier route, but is a route that leads to misery. You know, the prophets have always encouraged people to make the wise choice of the road that they travel in life. 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, after condemning Saul for his incorrect sacrifices, he says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, after mentioning the various things that led to the destruction of the nation, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, it's like Cain, we will not walk therein. You know, the right way has been shown us by God. Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Through his word he's talking about. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He showed us the way. Jesus is the way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ has opened for us a new and living way. Hebrews 10, verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He opened a new and living way for us in his sacrifice upon the cross for our sins. My question to you today is, what path are you traveling? Are you going the way of Cain, a way paved with selfishness, hatred, lies, and wrath? Or are you going the way of Christ, the way paved with humility, love, obedience, honesty, and grace? You know, if you don't like the direction of where you're going, where you're traveling, you find that these things apply to you, that you have been walking the way of Cain, it's not too late. You know, Cain had a choice to make. He was angry. He realized he'd done wrong. God pointed out his error. And he was wroth and his countenance fell. And God tried to counsel him, but he still refused. And then it became too late. But he had that opportunity to change. Each of us here today, we haven't been living right. We have the opportunity right now to change. We have the opportunity right now to change our path in life and begin to follow that straight and narrow way that leads to life. Today, if you're here and you have not made a choice to follow that path, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, changing your life in repentance of sins, confessing that holy name, being baptized to have your sins washed away, then we urge you tonight to do so. If you're here tonight as one who has gone back in the way of Cain, we urge you to come out of that, to repent, to turn back. Tonight, if we can help you to respond to the Lord's invitation, let us know as we stand and as we sing.